I'm Vicky Merrick. The local food report is up next, and this week it's about foraging at the beach. David Haddad started a series of pop-up dinners a couple of years ago called The Gathered Table. I went to one and was totally smitten by the variety of local foods they used as accents or vehicles for infusing flavor. Bayberry for smoking or using the buds, brined for capers, beech rose, beech peas, spruce tips. I wanted to forage with him to see what he sees. He told me to meet him at the beach. He'd be the guy eating by the seagrass.
You are the guy eating weird things. What are you guys eating?
We're eating sea sandwort, and it tastes like delicious salted cucumber. We're going to make a cocktail out of this for Saturday's dinner out of juiced sea sandwort. We call it beach cucumber because it's a better name than sandwort. We have beach rose vodka we made last year that we're going to mix with it, and then we're going to carbonate the whole thing and serve it over ice.
That so-called beach cucumber is a succulent plant that grows like a bright green garland, only upright. It looks a little like sedum, but they aren't related. It's something the rest of us have been using to decorate sandcastles with all these years. But I can testify it really does taste like cucumber. In fact, running along the beach wall, all manner of edible plants are marbled into what looks like just a tangle of vegetation.
Today, we're looking for some beech peas, which are about 30 yards away from us. We're also going to go try to find some upland cress, which is a cousin to watercress, but it grows in the land. We also got to get some beech rose flowers that we're going to do. I'm going to make some ice cream.
That's Froza Rugosa ice cream, and David's going to share that recipe with us. The list of things he makes with a beech rose is impressive. Butter, oil, salt, pickled petals, vodka, and he'll even brine the seeded hips for an olive substitute. It's a creative challenge using local things for standard ingredients that just don't grow around here, like using tender spruce tips for a citrus flavor. It's almost a game.
We just wanted to cook food of Cape Cod and food that tasted like a place. So we try to find things that, you know, grew around the ocean and things that are here that aren't other places.
David studied history in college, but instead of going on to law school, he decided to switch tracks and go to culinary school in Vermont, which is where he met Noel Shumway, his co-chef, who describes himself as...
I'm the dog who's just following around, and he's like, oh, try this off the ground. And I'm like, sure, why not, if you're eating it. And I kind of like just make a mental note of it, and then, you know, we go back to it later, and we're like, oh, what should we put on this dish?
Noel may be the taster, but they don't take risks. If they find something completely unknown to them, they bring samples home to research.
Originally, we would just kind of go around and look at stuff and look online and try stuff out and taste it but not swallow it because my mom would kill me if I ended up dying in the middle of the woods.
I'm relieved by this attitude as we move on to more things on their foraging list.
Beech peas. You can see the purple flowers right here. That's how you can spot them. As you can see, they're growing the whole length of this dune. There's peas everywhere.
I've seen them a million times, and I don't think I've
yeah,
seen
no, them. Yeah, I have too, and then until you look, you don't, you're like, oh yeah, look at them. So, you want one?
Yeah, I do.
Really good.
Oh my God, they're great.
Right?
Because they're a little bit sassier or something,
right? Yeah,
they
have more of like a peppery spice to them.
David uses the flowers for garnish and the tendrils for salads. And you can wilt them or saute the pods too, or just eat the peas. Wild beach peas, or Lathyrus japonicus, can be used in all its parts, although maybe not as a main staple, since excessive consumption of the peas themselves can result in a neurotoxin illness, although it's extremely rare. And by excessive consumption, I mean more than 30% of your diet. That's a lot of peas, and you'd have to be eating them over weeks and months, which would also mean you weren't leaving any beach peas for anyone else. Harvest time for beech peas is coming to a close. David says they start to get a little woody and a little buggy in the next couple of weeks. Next, we head out for David's secret stash of sea beans.
I mean, they don't really look like a bean per se. They're a succulent, and they kind of just grow out of the ground. They look like little green thin fingers, and they're salty too. Like, they have the salt taste.
They're so salty!
Yeah, because it's, you know, they use the salt water. That's what they live off of, so...
Well, what else do you do with them besides eat them raw?
You can blanch them. We actually pickled them. We used them. We made bread and butter sea beans for a clam dish.
David will also use them as a salt seasoning chopped up on sashimi. He thinks they're best to eat raw, though, especially when they're young.
And when you find these things, you got to kind of be a little protective over it. You don't want to take too much where it's not going to come back. You just take a little bit and make sure the roots are still in, and you farm it like that way. So everything's right in front of you. You just got to open your eyes.
We have that recipe for frozen rugosa ice cream on our website at capeandislands.org, where you can also see lots of photos. The Local Food Report is produced by Atlantic Public Media in Woods Hole. I'm Vicki Merrick. Thanks for listening.